All right, so today on Deep Thoughts, we're going to talk about a very interesting subject, because I have seen some wavering in the Force, and I think it's actually an extremely good waver in the Force. And the subject is chemtrails. Now, one of our listeners has had the guts to ask all the questions over again, to throw it all out the window and say, okay, prove it to me. Prove it to me that these planes are doing what everyone says they're doing. And he's had the guts to ask, or to even say, that perhaps he doesn't believe all of the very quick theories about this stuff. So I'm going to take you through my experience with these things, because I think one of the points that our listener made was that the credibility of everyone talking about it has sort of lost its footing, it's lost its origin, and he's trying to make sense of it. He's trying to make sure that he wasn't indoctrinated, that he didn't just join, because he joined 3 or 4 years ago, and there was already a lot of material online, and so you end up getting sucked in to what you read. And let's face it, you know, most of us haven't been able to take a private jet, fly up, grab some of this stuff, and bring it back down and look at it. But some extremely credible people have. So I'm going to get into every bit of this. But to rewind, depending on how old you are, if you're 30 and under, or somewhere around 30, you've never known a world without them, unless you were an astute child between 1 and 10. And if you live in an area that has lots of clouds in general, you would notice them, because they're above the clouds or below the clouds, depending on your average altitude of your clouds. But the reason why I'm going to go all the way back to my childhood is that the question is everybody who's supporting this stuff a bunch of shills? Somehow we're all getting a paycheck from some Rockefeller Center, some Lord Rothschild Center, to spread this disinformation to screw up all of our people. Or we're idiots. We're idiots and we believe anything that we're told. We have no scientific backgrounds. And this is how it's almost like a hypochondria of negativity and deceit and that kind of thing. Like, we all want to be negative, supposedly, right? We all want to walk outside and believe our air sucks. Or we take a bunch of negative things that are happening in the world, such as no laws ever passed to help mankind. Governments are passing all kinds of surveillance laws that take away all of our freedoms. I mean, these are the people that are supposedly not doing bad things to us. In America, our food is 90% GMO, genetically modified foods. When we know for a fact that glyphosate creates cancer and sterilizes animals. These are scientific facts. You know, cell phones cause cancer, and every single cell phone manual and sign says keep it 3/4 of an inch away from your face. Otherwise, you run a risk of catching cancer and damaging the cells in your head. I've had friends of mine have tumors removed above their ears, and when they asked the doctor about how they got their tumors, the guy said, make a phone call and I'll show you. So I can just vouch for MKUltra Radio and Kyle and myself that under no circumstance do we want to be doing shows like this about anything negative. If anything, we would love to talk about Bigfoot and aliens and stuff that's just fun, you know, maybe how to play a guitar or something really cool, or the whole enlightenment thing that Deep Thoughts has really been tracking to. These are just kind of fun because they're subjects that I don't think a lot of people talk about. They get these little one-off articles that have about 4 paragraphs and people feel like they're experts at the end of the read. So that's what Deep Thoughts is about, is to go deeper into the stuff that we don't talk about, to compare notes as adults, right? But chemtrails, and today is a day that they've actually sprayed us. It's a big deal. So I'm going to go back to my beginning as a kid, just so that you know that I was extremely observant. I think most people, most boys, say 40 and up, planes were a big deal. Planes are huge, and I'm going to go at it from 2 different perspectives. I grew up in a tiny, tiny town, 10,000 people at its, probably 12,500 at its heyday, and I think right now it's about 8,000 people. It's 100 miles from any major city, any major airport. And so I grew up with a Norman Rockwell painting for a sky. And I looked up all the time. It was just what you did. Just like Kyle said back in the Egyptian days, you know, the sky was the only game in town. And I can tell you, living in a small town, worshiping NASA, worshiping, you know, Popular Science magazine, looking at all the Mach 3 jets that they were theorizing up to Mach 13, you know, I mean, this was my life. You know, aviation was a big, giant portion of my interest as a kid, and I believed every single thing I've ever read as a child up until my awakening. And I can tell you right now, at no point in my childhood, all the way up into the 90s, late 90s, did I ever see a chemtrail. In fact, I don't think I even paid attention in the late 90s. It wasn't until the 21st century that someone said, "What the hell's that?" And I was like, "I don't know, that's weird," you know? When I moved to California at 17, something depressing happened, in that I looked up at the sky and there were no clouds. It wasn't until wintertime, because I lived in Ventura County for the first 2 years, and that's Southern California. It's the tip of Southern California before you start leaving to go up to the San Francisco area. It was horizon to horizon blue every single day, and it was so intense, pure sky, that I would write back to my family and talk to them on the telephone and say, "I miss clouds." And if I had the letters that I wrote, I'd read them to you, but I gave them away, right? Because it's a letter that goes one way. So I grew up here from 1987 to at least 91 here in Southern California, and I never saw anything but the marine layer that comes in the morning, or the gloom that hovers over Ventura County. So if you're in Southern California, there's a gloom that goes up to a mountainscape, and LA is all, if this is the ocean over here, the mountainscape completely covers Los Angeles, which is why it used to trap a lot of smog when I was first moved here. There was no clouds, but there was brown haze over the city, and you could smell it. It was gross. It burned your lungs when you would smell it. Sometimes it got so bad in LA that the smog layer would jump over what we call the grade and penetrate Ventura County, and it was gross. Even when I moved here in 2003, the docks down at Long Beach, which is, again, down here at the bottom underneath the mountainscape, we don't really have a mountainscape when you go south, but it would accumulate these brown clouds. And I haven't seen them for 5 or 6 years. So whatever emissions controls that we have installed here in California, it has made a huge difference. But I promise you, when I got here, especially in the first year, it was depressing for two reasons. One, there were no clouds in the sky. Ever, except for marine layers that burned off by noon. But there were no storms either. You know, it would rain, but it wouldn't have any lightning. You know, and if you know anything about America in the Midwest, it is an absolute lightning storm. You know, we have tornadoes in Kansas, where I'm from, and it was just always a seasonal thing. We had snow in the wintertime. We had incredible tropical storms, you know, virtually in the Midwest. I've seen tornadoes at least three times in my lifetime, one that came right down the street where I live and just took trees and just, you know, we're talking about a two-lane country street paved, and I saw trees go whoop and nearly tie knots in the middle. And the thing came right down our street right at our house, but our house had a big four-way intersection in the middle, which created a big open negative pressure zone, so the funnel, which didn't have a lot of debris in it but had a lot of the crap in the neighborhood, lifted up, went over our house, and hit the house behind us. So I've seen this stuff with my own eyes, and I can tell you that I never, ever, ever saw anything but a plane cutting a contrail, a very small contrail. And I can tell you, every time a jet came over my little town before I was probably 14 or something like that, my eyes were just fixed. You know, I lived in Massachusetts for 3 years, and I can't remember ever seeing this. And I lived next to Air Force bases, Devens Air Force Base. My father was a military man, so I was constantly around air shows and a bunch of stuff. And the only planes that ever made persistent clouds out the back were shooting streamers, because they were part of the air show. A couple times in my life, I've seen the old prop planes cut your name in the sky. And in Huntington Beach, we actually have planes that have the digital writers now, right? It looks like a little dot matrix writer in the sky. It's actually pretty horrible. It only lasts for a few minutes. But so I can tell you that in my childhood, it didn't exist. And all the photographs from my childhood lack any of these trails. Now, on MK Ultra Radio, I posted the credit reel for the opening credit reel for Three Amigos, the movie with Martin Short, Chevy Chase, and Steve Martin. And as they are riding out of the desert at the very beginning, there's a bunch of what look like chemtrails in the background. Now, the caveat to that is that that's desert terrain, and that's where the military does a lot of high-speed afterburner tests with jets, and afterburners will create these incredible clouds that last a long time. But contrary to the way that the clouds perform today, those would just eventually fizzle out. They wouldn't amass into a giant cloud-looking thing. I also found a pretty incredible trail in the Muppet movie that was filmed in from 78 to 79. And it's a scene where Fozzie Bear and Kermit the Frog actually bump into Big Bird walking down the street. And he's not part of the film because he's part of Sesame Street, right? But there's a gigantic trail from literally coast to coast. There's nothing else. Nothing else in the shot. Pure, perfect blue sky, and there's one giant trail over him. I've tried to get a VHS tape of that movie to see if it's actually in the VHS tape because there's a lot of rumors that, they've been inserted into old films. I've never been able to substantiate that. We do know they're inserted in CG films, right? The Turbo Snell movie has them. The Lego movie has them. So there's a concentrated effort to put them into films today. I have director friends of mine who are in their 70s, and they said that when they filmed period pieces back in the day, it was very common to hold the set until a contrail shooting plane would get out of camera. And now they allocate $1 to $2 million to rotoscope them out of the sky. When you want to do a New Zealand shot for Lord of the Rings, they have to either pull them out of the sky or wait a very long time, which they never do nowadays because the things last all day. They're not going to go away, right? So in my own life, I can tell you for certain that these things did not exist when I was a kid. In fact, the idea that a bunch of adults are walking around going, well, of course they're contrails. And you ask them, go get your old photographs when you were a kid playing outside. Show me all these contrails that are in your photographs. Because today, you can't take a shot of anything without a contrail in it when they're spraying, right? So I'm going to go down one accusation at a time. Because I think, again, these questions have been re-asked. And I think it's important to just loop back on basic science to make sure that we understand that, you know, when we get to a point where we can't get the evidence, two things happen. You either join them or you continue fighting. And I think that people, joining them is really easy. Jesse Ventura joined them. He said, I can't imagine they're poisoning us. Well, maybe it's not a poison like the exaggerated poisoning of, you know, a binary weapon that's going to kill everybody or something crazy like that. But there's something called the law of particulates. And it goes like this. Human beings are supposed to breathe rich oxygen. Human beings are never supposed to breathe anything else. They're not supposed to breathe the cloud from a coal-burning plant or a coal-burning train. They're not supposed to breathe the soot from a wood fire. We're never supposed to breathe anything but pure oxygen. The law of particulates goes something like this. When you breathe anything other than oxygen, your body suffers. Now, I'm going to have to loop back on what we think we're breathing here in a second, but what I have noticed being an employer with lots of employees at my office, my company got to about 25 people at one point that reported to either one of my two offices, one in Los Angeles, one in Orange County. And what I noticed was that when they sprayed, my employees would all get sick within about 3 days. What I also noticed is that my friends in Hollywood, they do not interact with other human beings, and I quite mean that literally. They sit at home, write scripts, they go out front, they come inside, they barely go out in public, they have all their food brought in, you know, like they go to the grocery store and they bring it in, they cook it, they just don't shake hands with people, they don't do anything. They were on the same cyclical sickness cycle as my employees. The other thing that I've noticed is that upper respiratory illnesses are off the chain, meaning people get a cold up here, they don't manage it, it falls to their throat, they don't manage it and it falls into their lungs and they go manage it. But it takes about a month to fall into your lungs and then it takes a couple months to get out of your lungs. Now, what does a particulate do to you? It doesn't matter what it is. Could be aluminum, could be wood, could be coal, could be anything. When a particulate goes inside your nasal cavity, it is considered a foreign body in your body. What that ends up doing is that it kicks off your immune system to try and get it out of your system. If any particle goes inside your nasal canal and attaches to the outside of your skin tissue in there, right, your body will try to sweat, creating moisture. What it wants to do mechanically is wrap that particulate in some water or some mucus, and it wants you to sneeze it out, it wants you to spit it out, or it wants you to swallow it into your stomach in order to get rid of the invader from your body. So anytime we get exposed to a bunch of weird stuff, and again, it could be anything easy. It doesn't have to be aluminum oxide, barium oxide, strontium, any of that kind of stuff. Your body's going to react to it. Now, when your nose starts to get really moist because there's a powder of this stuff inside your nasal canal, your entire nose will create a wet, hot environment. At that point, anything that you're touching, anything that you're interacting with, will have a perfect bedding for a culture to grow in your nose. Once that gets a multiplying culture in your nose goes crazy and starts to really manufacture thicker and thicker slime to get it out of your system, to give you the ability to actually sneeze it out or blow a big loogie out and get it all out of your system. But it never works like that. You don't just get a little bit sick and you spit up a bunch of mucus and all of a sudden you're okay. Now, that's why the nasal rinse thing that I use, I think, is very important because it absolutely blasts it at the source before it gets to take a hold in your body. But what will end up happening is all that mucus starts going down the back of your throat. And when your throat gets over-moisturized, the cellular structure, the bonds between your cells, which are really tight, start to fray. And once they start to fray, you start getting a sore throat. You get the tickle. A tickle is like an itch. An itch is your body saying, rub it, because the capillaries are in trouble. The normal flow of blood is not working, and I need you to rub it to get the blood to flow, because the immune system travels in the blood, and that's how you actually get yourself to heal up. That's why combing your body with a brush, it feels so good. It's weird. Do it once a week. Do it three times a week if you can. Do it every day if you can. But you get a sore throat and you get that coffee tickle because your throat is going through the same thing, but you can't reach back there and just rub it. You can't just get it off your throat easily, right? This is where I take my vitamin C, because my vitamin C attacks it on an atomic level, giving my immune system more room to do things with bigger invaders in my body. Okay? So now let's say you don't take care of it because you're a badass, right? When all that sludge starts going down into your lungs because you're breathing the particulate and the infection and the bacterial culture or the viral infection, the viral culture in your body down into your lungs. One of the reasons why people die of pneumonia is because the lungs take on liquid, because the inner coating of your lungs, your sacs that are metabolizing oxygen into something that your body can use, bring it into your bloodstream. They're covered with this dust or this culture of either bacteria or viral infection, and your lungs sweat. And when they sweat, you start feeling that horrible waterlogged feeling in your chest. And it's extremely difficult to rid your body of this in your lungs unless it's bacteria and you can use an antibiotic. When it's a virus, what happens? Well, your body heats up, trying to boil it away inside your system. And that's where we get a bunch of flu shots, right? So when it comes to whether or not we're being poisoned, it's not water. How do we know it's not water? Because water takes on a hue of gray. Because water absorbs light, refracts light, and you will not get out of the light, out of the reflection of light, an even near percentage of what a mirror gives you, right? So when there's water in the sky, even the most minute little cloud floating around, it's gray, no matter what. Even if the center of it's white, the outer part of it's gray. Now, there's things called thundercaps. Okay, and no one's mistaking Thundercaps for contrails or chemtrails, right? Thundercaps are extremely luminous, very bright popcorn-y-looking clouds which come out of, you know, thermals from the ground where negative pressure is allowing a bunch of moisture to come up and create this big mushroom cloud-looking thing. You just watch them, right? They sit there and turn. But at the bowels of a thundercap is gray. Usually at the lower part of a thundercap, there's rain going off to one side. Now, these clouds never rain on us. You ever realize that? They never rain on us. They just get up there and make the clouds, make the sky, excuse me, which would be normally a deep blue, a light haze. Hopefully you're getting the picture that these things are not crystals that have expanded somehow, right? Now, the idea that these are somehow persistent contrails, right? Persistent contrails, one, is a new term to begin with, and I'll tell you why I know it's a new term, because my friends who are pilots who took classes in aviation school to learn about contrails and the dangers of quickly following another plane, right? You're not allowed to do that. You have to zigzag your formations. You can't occupy the same airspace within a certain number of minutes, not seconds, like we see with these planes that spray this crap out of the back. They didn't get taught in persistent, you know, contrails. Okay. They are taught, though, that if you were flying in extremely cold environments, and I mean extremely cold, like either the North Pole or the South Pole, you can have contrails last up to a minute and a half. That was the extreme example that you get in aviation school. Not what we're seeing today. Now, the other thing is that, just as a piece of evidence, again, if you're sitting in your living room trying to deduce all this stuff by looking up and taking photographs, you're not going to have the evidence that you need. But if you talk to pilots who don't have this grab the tail sort of mentality to life, like don't shake up the boat, you see a UFO, don't say anything, because there's plenty of those guys. Probably the majority of pilots are like that because they're in a very coveted role to fly jets for a living. And every guy that flies a plane was a little kid that wanted to fly a plane, trust me. So they're in their dream, right? It's almost like a race car driver. You're going to get into a circuit racing for a giant sponsor and then rock the boat? Not unless you have all the money in the world or you're dumb. Which is why the guys that have talked to us, military and commercial and private pilots, unequivocally have said the term, it's not us. That's not our planes. Now, again, I've had interviews with people who don't give a crap about chemtrails, who never even thought about chemtrails. They don't have any activist pages out there. But they say, look, I've run into these things. And the planes that do it have had very, very mysterious behaviors, such as big, giant, commercial jet-sized planes flying over the coast from South America to North America, knocking out these big giant trails. And when reported down to ground control to say, hey, I got this plane off to my right. It's kind of close to me, according to this giant space that's supposed to be around every plane, right? There's a halo of don't travel around the plane because you guys could bump into each other. Mission control or the command control just basically said nothing. The plane shuts off its lights, zooms ahead about 300 aeronautical miles, turns on its lights, and then a radio message comes up and says he's out of your way, and now my friend is starting to fly into the actual debris of the plane itself, the smoke. Is this normal? Is my friend who doesn't give a crap about any of this stuff trying to tell me a Bigfoot story? And the other two guys that we've talked to, who really told us information, are they really sitting there making it up when they'd rather not talk about it? Again, they have no activist page. They don't paste on their Facebook, you know, contrail or chemtrail photographs and say, look, this one's real, this one's fake. No, they don't have any of that stuff. They, in their mind, have no gain by talking about this stuff. So that's one reason why Kyle and I believe that if nothing else, this is a man-made geoengineering project. Why say geoengineering? Am I a geoengineer? No. But we filmed them. We filmed them at several different conferences talking about spraying stuff in the sky. And what stuff do they say they're going to spray in the San Diego Convention Center 5 years ago? Aluminum oxide as a shield for global warming. Yeah. Yeah, global warming. Let's think about it, guys. It's summertime in Los Angeles. It's the end of July. In fact, it might be even August 1st by now. They're not spraying as much. And this is the hot season. Sky is pretty blue. It's not as deep as it probably was when I was a kid. So the idea is maybe they seeded it during the wintertime. Again, it's all low atmospheric spraying, so I can't imagine how it's up in the ionosphere. If it's up in the ionosphere or way up there in the stratosphere or something, I wouldn't be able to see it at all. It'd be like a little, I mean, it'd be so minuscule up there, and you have to have special planes to go way, way up there. That's not what we're seeing. I got them right here in my view. Low atmospheric spraying. The pilots that we've talked to say they're spraying them in a military guarded zone, which is basically 25,000 feet or below. It's a military, you can't sustain altitude in those, in that pocket, unless you're a military plane. Or, you know, at the very bottom, you have these little skipper planes that we see, you know, the doctor with his little prop plane. I'm not talking about those. They don't go up that high. But you're supposed to traverse through that layer, through that altitude layer, and top out at cruise altitudes. That's the law of the sky. But it's good to ask the questions, and it's good to come back and recertify this stuff. I think what I'm seeing is a very interesting issue of people taking things to extremes to somehow deal with their own inability to deal with the fact that something might be happening that's bad. You know, when we say GMO food isn't good for you, people are eating it like every day. I have to eat it every day. Unless I go and buy all my own non-GMO stuff and cook food at home, which I don't do. And people say, well, it's not killing me. I'm not dead yet. So I guess there can't be anything wrong with it. And my grandma thought that about saccharin for the first 10 years she took it until she got colon cancer. And she stopped taking saccharin, got her surgery, and never got it again, never regressed. And no one else in our family got it because no one else had an addiction to saccharin. My family that ate butter instead of margarine, no problems. My friends' families that stuck on a bunch of the artificial, everything is better, you can eat more and not get fat, oh, they're dying of cancer. So let's talk about the evidence of what it really is up there. Again, geoengineering programs have absolutely walked out and said aluminum oxide. I haven't personally heard of them using barium oxide. When asked if they turned on the program, they say no. When we ask them, have you done any tests of what aluminum oxide would do to the human body, they say no. Now, there's a guy out there from the South. He's a retired neurosurgeon. His name is Dr. Russell Blaylock. This guy has been an activist against fluoride in water. He's been an activist against flu shots, against vaccinations. I don't think he's completely absolute on vaccinations being completely bad. And again, I think most of us realize that there could be some sort of controlled regimen without aluminum or mercury in the shots. But you need to ask yourself that question, right? Why are those things in the shots besides a preservative, right? When we have all these flu scares, we're talking about the H1N1 here in America, right? They manufactured a ton of flu shots with thimerosal in it, which is an aluminum-mercury combination, right? But every single shot was going to be consumed instantaneously. And the shelf life was in no peril without this preservative. Again, we have a bunch of people, over 50,000 people roughly, that have a neurological disorder now because of that flu regimen. When I was a kid, Alzheimer's did not exist, all right? It existed at an undocumented level in my little hometown. And my physics teacher walked in one day, because he lost his wife to cancer, and he completely, you know, learned physics. But he draws a brain, and he explains to us Alzheimer's. And he explains that once you metabolize Alzheimer's, at least we know that the brain starts accumulating aluminum in the brain. And that a bunch of the older people in town had stopped using anything aluminum, any aluminum cans, aluminum pots and pans, aluminum anything. Nothing was going to touch their mouth that had aluminum on it. I remember, like I've said this on the show a couple times, but I remember the very first person diagnosed with Alzheimer's in my hometown, about 1985. And I had to do a little run to her house because I believe my girlfriend had some association with the family, and I had to drop them off. And I remember this woman coming to the door and staring at me in the car. She's behind her screen door. And I'm in the car, and I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me. And her husband came and pulled her away from the door. And then my girlfriend came back out and said, yeah, she's having a bad day. She doesn't know where she is. And then we suddenly realized that we did switch from steel cans to aluminum cans. That a lot of the pots and pans had aluminum elements to them. And that underarm deodorant had largely switched over to an aluminum dust that you put right inside your glands under your armpit, right? Your lymph nodes are all over your body, but right here is a bunch of them, right? So we're sucking it into a pore that's supposed to output sweat. It's supposed to do that. It's not supposed to be blocked as much as we convince ourselves we're supposed to smell all flowery. I use deodorant, but I'm very fortunate. I don't sweat that much. Let's take fluoride for a second before we get back off on chemtrails, because there's this insinuation that we could never be poisoned by forces in the world. Well, fluoride has been unequivocally attached to horrible stuff in your body. It pits your teeth. It eats away your enamel over time. It reduces your bone density. It accumulates in your pineal gland, crystallizing into crystals inside your pineal gland. Remember, your body moves out of the way of anything that's an invader. That's why cancer is so dangerous. That's why cancer removes bone in your body. If I had cancer in my shoulder or something, my body's accommodating. All human bodies are. And the bone will just go, hey, this guy seems to think he should be here. I'm going to stop producing bone in this area. And that's why you lose bone mass when you get bone cancer, any type of cancer in your body. Same thing with the pineal gland. It's accommodating. Now, beautifully so, you can stop rushing with this stuff and drain the stuff out of your system. Aluminum, not so much. Aluminum, there's a few treatments now. They're talking about coconut oils and various other oils that you can consume that will latch onto the aluminum particles and supposedly flush them out. I haven't done it myself, but I've never been tested for aluminum in my body either. I have had a body scan from the tip of my head to the bottom of my crotch, and I am absolutely healthy as an ox. In fact, my cholesterol level's in the top 1%. I have none. I eat meat, a little bit of butter, very little salt, but I'm healthy. In fact, my radiologist looked at my scans. It was a full-blown 3D scan of my body just because I wanted to see. Just, hey, I don't want to be doing this show and have somebody say, oh, we died of cancer. If I die of cancer, it's something very strategic and something very quick if it's in the next 5 to 10 years, right? Because I got nothing. But to say that these individuals supposedly wish us well is crazy. For those of you who haven't done your research in depleted uranium, or those who have, depleted uranium is used in all ordnance in the United States military. The A-10 Gatlin guns shoot an 18-inch round of pure depleted uranium. By the time the projectile leaves the Gatlin gun, it is molten steel. And when it hits, it explodes into what's called a metal gas. But you're thinking, oh, it says the word depleted uranium in it. It's completely safe, right? Well, truth of the matter is that when it's a hard steel, it has a very low radiation signature because it has something called steel shielding. And it has the fact that the way that the molecules actually hold themselves together has a very low radioactive signature. But you wouldn't want to send on the ammo box inside of a tank or inside of a jet or inside of some ammo loading dump. It'll definitely fry your nuts. But as soon as this stuff hits something and turns into a metal gas, then you have an impossibility of ever reconstituting that area of where it exploded without inventions that we simply don't have yet. One of the guys that was a big proponent, and we're going to get into how depleted uranium is created just so we can lock this down and the reasons why it's used in arsenals. But one of the guys that was a huge anti-activist, he was basically for depleted uranium work for the Pentagon. They sent him over to clean up all these tanks in Iraq, and he died of cancer within 2 years. And every single one of his people died before he died, most of them, because just being around it killed them. They breathed inside their system, and all these radioactive little isotopes went down inside their joints and ate up all their body parts. They died of cancer. I bet he regrets getting on that little inside club, right? Why is depleted uranium used at all? Well, depleted uranium is basically uranium-238 that's had 234 and 235 pulled out to be used in nuclear power plants or plutonium. If plutonium exists. But they're making this shit like crazy. So if you want to tell me atom bombs don't exist, that's fine. Well, nuclear power plants exist. And these elements are being taken out. And so you have this extremely now unstable uranium particle that's left. It's depleted of the most volatile 234, 235. But it has in itself, it's 6, 7, 8, and 3 and under. So they had huge stockpiles of this stuff after they got the Manhattan Project started, right, and started making all this plutonium or making these rods for nuclear power plants. What were they going to do with it? Before they started using it as ordnance and shielding and all this other stuff, well, they had stockpiles of the stuff. That's where fluoride came from, people. Fluoride was a byproduct of making aluminum. Huge problem. Go look up videos of San Francisco fluoride disposal. You'll find videos in the late 40s of them rolling barrels down into the bay right underneath. From what I understand, the video that I saw showed the Army Corps of Engineers burying these barrels at the bottom of the ocean underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. Crazy videos of these barrels rolling down the hill that they had made this nice sled, and it would roll down in the hill and sink to the bottom because they're super duper heavy. That was fluoride disposal. Fluorine is its pure name. 1954, they dress two actors up to go on television and say how it's great to put it in your mouth. Now, they started putting it in our mouths in the 40s in little controlled things. These are the people that wouldn't possibly put something in the sky to dispose of it or to do something about it. I don't know. Now, there are shills in the chemtrail conspiracy. There are shills in every single conspiracy. And there are people that are misinformed who talk. And they're not shills. They're just misinformed. They're carrying the propaganda forward about this kind of stuff. For me, knowing that they weren't in the sky when I was a kid, all the way up into probably my late 20s, I don't really care how they demonize it. I don't care if you tell me it's alien DNA floating up there. I don't care. Honestly, it shouldn't exist in my sky because it's a particulate that's being ejected from a plane, doesn't behave anything like moisture. It seems to coincide with global outbreaks in sickness. And I'll tell you what, there's what we call an urgent care. In America, before we had our draconian healthcare system, we have these urgent cares. They're just a little chain of clinics you go into and you just walk into it, no appointment, and you sit down, you pay your 70, 80 bucks or whatever, you go talk to a doctor. And again, I used to get sick twice a year when they used to spray the living crap out of us, or when it rains. When it rains in LA, it's really bad. We all get sick. And that could just be pollution more than just, you know, chemtrails or anything like that. But my daughter lives an hour inland, and when I would drive from inland to the coast during a big storm, these chemtrails fly over the storm, not over her area, but over the storm, just dropping tons of these trails. Almost at the same level as these low atmospheric rain clouds. But anyway, I walked into my doctor to get my antibiotics because I had fought something for 2 weeks. And it was nice weather out, right? And the guy said, you know, it's really weird. He said, we've had a sudden explosion in respiratory illnesses this year. And he goes, this is not the time of year that we usually get this. He actually, it got so bad that the doctor stopped to talk to me about it. And I waited for him to finish, and I just said, well, you might take a look at those planes to spray those lines and coincide that with how many outbreaks you actually have. Now, let's talk about the people that have claimed to go get the stuff out of the sky. There, and I've done this in my chemtrail episode, but I want to just reiterate it since we're going through re-answering the questions. There's some videos out there that are actually pretty hard to find on YouTube. I'm sure they're out there, but just deprecated from the search. But there was a group of artists in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which for those of you who don't live in America, it's a desert community. It's very Native American in its architectural style. They're very one with nature out there. And it's where millionaires go to retire. And they go to retire to do everything artistic, from pottery to painting to music, whatever. And painting is one of the biggest things that they do because the vistas down there are unbelievable. It's down by the what we call the Interstate 10, which is a gorgeous area of America. Very, very rustic, you know. But these guys got down there, and they started setting up their easels to paint. And all of a sudden, in the late 90s, and they take photographs, referential photographs, to take home once the day ends, and they take their painting home. They need to see what it looks like, and they get it developed and paint. They said that they couldn't paint anymore without subtracting these things out of their skies. And they said at first it was a couple lines, no big deal, you just fill in the blue. But after a while, it was completely covering the sky, making it a haze, if you will. And once you have a haze over you, you can no longer get true colors anymore because the sky is no longer, you know, reflecting down the sun's light. And so nothing looks right. And so these people do these ventures. And they had put their entire retirement into these communities so they could create art. And day after day after day, they were getting completely covered. Now, it might be that in that era, and I'm just going to speculate, that that was one of the first test areas where they were doing a lot of extreme spraying. I seriously doubt it's that way today. Well, one of the guys got really angry, and he owned his own jet, and he went up there and flew through it and got a bunch of this stuff and brought it back down. There's two or three of them that actually cared enough to look into this stuff. One was a hippie living out of a little tiny place with his little VW van, and then this guy who was just sick and tired of it. And these, there was three of them. They're the gentlemen that got the samples, looked at it, sent one to the EPA, one to the FDA, and one to the, the CDC, and one to the Air Force. And they immediately got back, you know, you're crazy, from the Air Force. But the EPA and the CDC hung on to the samples for over a year and sent back the samples unopened after a year and said, this is not our job. And they published the letters that they got back from these two organizations. It's in their video. I went up and tried to find their videos, and it's very, very difficult nowadays. And I was stupid to think that they would ever be up there for a long time. But then they sent the samples off to an Arizona university where the individual had an electron microscope access. And again, you're not allowed to use an electron microscope unless you register what you're looking for. And that is sort of like the SEC monitoring your deposits. In America, the government gets informed about what you're supposedly looking for, but this guy was tricky. He used one thing that was on his list, and then he slipped his stuff underneath and started taking a look. And they took pictures, and they found stuff, and it was weird. It was, again, this is the more extreme examples of stuff, and I would assume that if this is true, that this doesn't happen very often. But they found what appeared to be desiccated human red blood cells, except for they were a little bit smaller than a human red blood cell, and they were perfect, like they were machined, like a zirconian diamond. Now, the guy that looked at it didn't have any conspiratorial background, didn't have any interest in this kind of stuff. When he mixed it in a beaker to rehydrate it, it multiplied in the little tiny test tube. And they published the videos of this stuff happening. Now, it seems if they were lying, somebody would come in from a government level or some certified level and go, you're crazy, prove it to me. But no one touched these guys. They just got called names, which is what happens when everything gets discovered, right? So again, I don't think we're in an environment in the world where we have any visual example of people at the very top in the ruling class of the world expressing or enacting any behavior that says they care about us. I wish it was different, right? We watch money travel around the world for stupid reasons. I recently heard a really interesting quote that said, no country ever says we can't afford to go to war. No country ever says that because the money's always there to go to war. And I think it's interesting that every country says we don't have enough money to feed our people. We don't have enough money to pay unemployment. We don't have enough money to make great education anymore. There's never enough money to help the people, but there's always a bunch of money to push the people into these meat grinders to kill them. And supposedly, that same mentality that you know is true is protecting our skies. I find them diametrically opposed. This idea that they're protecting us and that the skies are gross. You know, the CEO of Hershey's, who makes, like a DeSante water, I think what is what they, what they're part of. One, they're allowed to drain the California water supply and then bottle it and sell it to us. But two, the guy comes out and says that water is not an inalienable right of man, that a corporation, a made-up entity, is the only thing that has the right to sell you a strategic resource to stay alive. Now, if the world was a good place, if our politicians cared as much about a dentist killing a lion, wouldn't you think this guy would get taken to task? I'll give you an example that is hilarious. When Netflix in America, which is this movie distribution website, which is fantastic, tried to split their service into a rent DVD service and stream movie service, into two different brands, everybody went apeshit. Everybody freaked out that this guy was going to split up a service. They just wanted one service called Netflix, and that's it. Stop creating a new brand. That was the world panicking over watching movies. But no one paid attention to the Nestle guy saying that eventually you won't be able to drink one drop of water without paying a corporation. Your normal water supply in your house, well, that's just going to be for bathing and cleaning dishes, because we're going to completely lower the standard of your water quality that comes into your house until it's absolutely toxic, pushing you into paying for something that's virtually free in the world, falls out of the frickin' sky. But supposedly, these individuals are there to protect us. Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, we have people that defect from the interior of these programs. And I suppose that there's a value if you think it's all fake, if you don't think it's nefarious, for her to come out, this girl, I believe her name is Megan, she came out and said, look, I helped pack up these planes for 10 years. I certified every shipment of barium and aluminum oxide into the Air Force base, went over to a private hangar and was jacked into these planes that took off. Now, she didn't sit on the plane and watch it come out of the back, right? She goes, isn't it mysterious that this stuff seems to have this signature of these two chemicals? And this is what I was actually certifying. It was coming from an unknown supplier, and we weren't allowed to vet in any way, shape, or form the delivery of this stuff. We just were supposed to look the other way and have it shipped out. She did in Oklahoma for 5 years and the state of Georgia for 5 years until she popped out and started having kids. When she started having kids, a mother, you know, she's going to protect her kids. We have mandatory vaccinations in California, and now it's going all over the United States. HPV vaccinations, right? A sexually transmitted disease. You're going to get a vaccination for it, which basically puts the vaginal wart virus into your body. And some girls are completely metabolizing up vaginal warts from their belly buttons to their ankles. They're going to have it for the rest of their lives. We have kids going into convulsions after, you know, their vaccine regimens. These are your politicians, at least in America, forcing this stuff into your children, removing your rights as a parent and removing your child's rights to keep their health, all to make profit for a corporation that no longer has legal liability once the vaccination is mandated by the state, because it then becomes a state issue, a government issue, and you can't sue those two organizations very easily. But these are the people that are protecting your skies. Yep. Fukushima. Supposedly a nuclear power plant that went critical. Supposedly burned up all of its rods at least one of the reactors, if not more than one. Dumping incredible isotopes into the Pacific Ocean that are getting harvested by all the crustaceans and then finally eaten up by bluefin tuna, which then migrates to Hawaii, migrates to all the coast of America, gets caught, gets served up at sushi restaurants, probably getting served up at every single Subway sandwich here in America. Once you get your tuna sandwich, yellowfin tuna, in the contrary, does not migrate. It's probably the only one you can eat that's safe. But who's labeling it yellow or blue? Nobody. Some nice sushi restaurants will actually say. But no one seems to address the issue, because these people are supposedly out for us, right? Now, back to chemtrails. I have seen with my own eyes, and I've posted photographs of onepagenews.com. Just go up to the chemtrail tab, hover your mouse over it, a little thing drops down, you hit the gallery. But we also have articles in there. If you just click the chemtrails tab on there, you'll see our articles that break down intentional spraying. And I go after this because we're going to dismiss this persistent contrail bullshit that is basically, if you endorse that after seeing the evidence, I think that you're joining them as opposed to dealing with the issue that's troublesome to you. And I understand. But we've got photographs of these persistent contrails stopping on a dime. And I'm not talking about a little tapered end. I'm talking about an absolute wall of these big fluffy things coming out of nowhere, stopping or starting. That would not be anything indicative of a natural crystal formation. That would mean the engines just turned on. But here in Orange County, again, Disneyland is 8 miles from this house. From where I'm sitting right now, Disneyland was chosen to be in Orange County because our weather is near perfect constantly. We have Wellsville constantly. Our average mean is 73 degrees. Right now it's probably 74, at least in the shade. The spraying style has changed drastically since 2008. And for those of you who want to tell me it's a natural occurring persistent contrail, then Mother Nature is having a lot of fun. Because in 2008, when they sprayed, it was absolutely geometric how they sprayed. Grids, Zs, Ts, right? You've got one person sprays a line, and then another plane comes right along the line within 60 seconds, okay? And either starts spraying right at that line and sprays up, or comes down to the line and stops spraying. So consistent, persistent contrails have geometric principles to them. Is that what you're saying? Not likely. There's a photograph we've got on there. I think it's one of our chemtrail articles. If you just keep scrolling down, you'll see it as the head image in it. Okay. And where I was standing at a mall, it's the Fashion Island Mall in Newport Beach. And I look up and I see a plane shoot a tiny trail in the sky. From my vision, it was probably about 2 inches in the sky, you know, hundreds and thousands of feet up in the sky. And he just turned on his sprayer, and he stopped his sprayer, and he kept going. Now, for those of you that think it's contrails or persistent contrails, you're thinking, well, there was a pocket of moisture there. It was a round pocket of moisture, and he simply flew through that pocket of moisture, and when he threw that, flew through that, it created this little tiny line. That's what I thought, too. And then, perpendicular, perfectly perpendicular line, here comes another plane spraying a chemtrail. He gets right to that line that was sprayed within 60 seconds, because I was walking from the parking garage onto the premise of the mall, and I stopped for 60 seconds, okay? Here comes this plane shooting a chemtrail, and right when he gets to this line that was sprayed in the sky, which we've affectionately called a marker, automatically it stopped, and I mean automatically, and you can see it on our webpage. Now, according to this phenomenon of nature bullshit, that supposedly is some anomaly of the way the world works up in the sky. And again, if I pointed at it, right when it happened to any stranger, they go, that's a contrail. Fair enough, they don't know about chemtrails. But if I point at it 30 minutes later, they're going to go, that's a cloud. And that's the problem with these things. They're not clouds. They're not expanding crystals that have all of a sudden more mass later on in the day. They're a rope, figuratively speaking, of this chemical. And then it diffuses naturally in the sky. Except, unlike a cloud, they fall and they get whisked away. Whichever direction the sky is going, they fall down to the ground and they wisp, something that clouds don't do. I saw the same exact thing sitting in a Denny's in Newport Beach, off of Harbor Boulevard and Victoria Street. And I just had gone all the way to the back of the restaurant. I sat by a window and I look up, and the same exact thing happened before my eyes within 2 minutes. Marker, perpendicular line, stop. I tried to take a picture through the window, but my camera was having, it was a shitty camera and a crappy phone, but it was having a problem focusing on the window versus the outside. So the shot didn't come out very well. And I don't believe I've ever posted that, but I've seen that twice now. We have something called the Z-bar that we've termed, which is a line that's sprayed, and then another parallel line is sprayed. And the theory behind that is that one gets sprayed, the wind moves it up, and then another plane comes through the same area, and that gets moved up. And that's how you start getting this grid formation. That seemed like it made sense to me, other than the fact that they're persisting in the sky. And then a plane comes down diagonally through it. No trail until it hits the first line. Starts creating a trail and stops at the second line and keeps flying on. What is it? Is it Mother Nature on drugs? She's living in geometric realities up there? And these things happen all over the place? Most of you have seen the figure A. Two trails that coincide at the same point in the sky. Sometimes there's a little bit of overlap, but not much. And then right at the top, almost like a really tall A, another line goes through. And again, starts at the first line, stops at the second line, and moves on. You have giant plus signs in the sky. And again, our aviation friends say the one reason why we know something's going on is that you're not allowed to trade airspace like that. Ever, ever, ever. But these plus signs then sometimes get rotated by a spiraling wind, and they start looking like a swastika, and people think they're actually shooting swastikas, but they're not. They're shooting plus signs that get turned. Taking photographs of these things will also wake you up. Not just time lapse, but real photographs with a big ass zoom lens. This way is the beach for me. It's 3.5 miles that way. I've got a beautiful vision of the clear sky, and I live in a cul-de-sac. So when I stand in my cul-de-sac, I have no obstructions this way. I have some power lines, but I can get around those pretty easily, especially with the 50x zoom lens that I use to take pictures of these planes. We see them come out of San Diego when they go crazy. It's usually in fall. And I've got pictures that are posted online of them shooting a trail headed towards Northern California or wherever they're going. And they have a really weird signature on the back of the plane, which I've taken such close photographs that I can take the signature off the plane, the paint job on the back of the fin, and I've tried to look it up online, and I cannot find an airline that matches that signature. insignia, I should say. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means I couldn't find it. But there's nerds out there that capture all the insignias on the back of planes and they constantly update their web pages, their blogs. Oh my God, you know, Alaska Airlines has a new one. Couldn't find it. And I was starting to think, okay, well, this is just, it's doing its thing. Until I saw when I filmed over or took pictures over the course of an hour. And what I would do is I'd sit out back and smoke a cigar. And every time I'd see one come over, I'd just pop out my camera and pop and stop. And then, while taking a photograph of one spraying, the exact type plane that had gone north earlier, and I don't know if it's the exact plane, but it's the exact same paint job, is flying south with no trail. No trail at all. Not even a contrail. So what's the deal? How is it that if it's a physical anomaly, a persistent contrail, a bunch of bullshit, how is it that one day at the same altitude, because I'm using the 50x zoom lens, the plane is the exact same size in my frame, so it is minusculely different in altitude than the other plane that's coming through, spraying north. Because when I saw the one go south, I was taking a picture of the one, another one going north, same paint job. Sorry, same paint job, spraying a trail. But the one coming back doesn't have one. Right. Because there's just these cylinders of physical anomalies in the sky that make one spray a trail and another one not. One of the first times in about 2008 that I took one of my friends and I said, I'm pointing at the sky. We're in downtown Los Angeles in New Tokyo or Little Tokyo, whatever it is. And I pointed at the sky. We're crossing the streets. It's like 6 o'clock in the summertime. I said, you see that? We're starting to track those things. We don't know what they are, but a lot of people are saying that these things called chemtrails. And she's like, yeah, those are really weird. I don't remember those things ever happening. She's just a few years younger than me. And right when I'm pointing up there, she goes, well, look at that one right there. And another one was coming through, same exact physical size in the sky to our naked eye, shooting a contrail, very tiny contrail. She goes, well, that one's not doing it. And I looked at it and I said, yeah, that's the problem. Some do and some don't. There's a movie out there called What in the World Are They Spraying Us? And it has a guy that kind of endorses the film, Dr. Griffin. And in Fountain Valley, which is the town that's right next to Huntington Beach, they showed it outside at some one-story mall. And a buddy of mine grabbed me and said, dude, I got some tickets. We're going to go down and watch this thing with the people that made the film. And Dr. Griffin's going to be there. And I was like, damn, I'm right in this thing. It's like 2009, 8, or 10 or whatever. And I went down there to watch it. It was some shitty thing where we sat outside. It was freezing. We're all in these, like, you know, folding chairs. And we're outside the mall. Like, no one could get a room. And so we watched it. And I'd already seen it, so I was, like, a pain in the ass to watch it again. And Griffin was there. We're going to talk about shills. This guy is endorsing this film. He's all into it, right? Or maybe he's having a bad day, or maybe he's just tired of the bullshit, but this stuff was brand new, and he was standing there, and so finally did a Q&A, a question and answers after the thing was showed, and I'm sitting there, and I've got hundreds of photos, man. Oh, 2008 was an absolute bug spraying exercise here, and again, you look on our onepagenews.com, you're going to see pictures of my neighborhood absolutely plastered with trails that stop on a dime, and it's just these crazy spider web grids, which never happen anymore, all right? The physical anomaly that is persistent contrails just simply doesn't happen anymore the way that they used to do it because people are starting to figure out when they look really gritty, it's pretty fucking obvious what they're doing, right? But I'm sitting there and I'm listening to these people stand up and you know when someone has rehearsed a line, you can hear it. They're trying to put emotional inflection in a line that doesn't really exist in their heart. They had seated this fucking crowd with at least a couple guys that got in there and stood up and said, well, I hear it's a fuel additive that's causing this issue. And starts trying to offload the whole thing on a fuel additive. And we're sitting there going, well, shit, man, everyone's filling up at the same gas station in L.A. You know, we got flights from every international country in the world landing in Los Angeles. And, you know, it's when they take off, You know, it's just, there's no science around it whatsoever, right? And so I waited a long time to say anything because I'm sitting there listening to the bullshit come out. I started to realize, oh my God, this is all bullshit. Like, not everybody in the room, but there's a bunch of old people, really, really old people. Like, we're talking, I mean, I think a good portion of the audience was over 80, let's just put it that way. Which I thought was interesting, because we don't see those people online ever. And I started talking about the fact that these things stop on a dime, that planes are flying without them, with them, and that we start to see all these geometric shapes, that sicknesses seem to coincide with this stuff. And all of a sudden, a handful of people stood up and said, yeah, what he said, that's what we're seeing. Those are undeniable things. Fuel additive, is not going to create a stop on the dime or stop on the dime situation. The only thing that makes sense in that is an aerosol program that's spraying. So there's some of you out there that say, well, if you don't have all the data, the cause, the purpose, don't talk to me. I want to keep my head in the sand until you got the whole thing figured out. And that's your choice. That's cool. But I can tell you right now, one of our listeners contacted her congressman and said, you know, I don't approve of this, aerosol program that you guys are supposedly, you know, you guys are at least looking the other way, right? And the guy reportedly said, okay, very seriously. And then she said, you do know what I'm talking about, right? The chemtrails that are being sprayed in the sky. And the guy said, yes. How cool is that? One of our listeners gets a A++ for her having more balls than most guys to go out and bring it to them. And that matters, right? That congressman's going to be in some subcommittee meeting, some covert meeting about it or whatever. It comes up in the hallway with one of his buddies and the guy's going to go, we got to do something about this because they're starting to notice. Now, my personal journey with this has been taking photographs for 8 years, and I've sort of backed off. They spread a giant one over my house this morning. Eh, whatever. But I think, you know, the reason why I'm creating this particular Deep Thoughts is to essentially cut through the bullshit, because if we don't talk about it in a very frank way, we're going to start joining them because we can't deal with the issue. Emotionally, to wake up every single day and not know what they're doing and having seemingly no power to stop it, it's frustrating. You know, 9/11 and all the other conspiracies in the past, the moon missions or whatever, they don't affect us, right? Necessarily speaking, on an everyday basis. And they don't affect our health every single day. They might affect our freedoms, but they don't affect our health. If the water's bad coming out of my faucet, you can buy a filter and filter it, make it good. You can solve that problem. But when they spray like this and all of a sudden you get ulcers in your mouth or you get a cold or whatever, you're going to have it. It becomes more personal. I have friends who exercise all the time in Southern California. And one of my friends, she still does to this day, she runs on the beach. And when I started to get to know her and started kind of bringing this thing up, she's very, like, you're nuts sort of thing. But I really like you, so I'm going to still hang out with you. And then she started thinking back to previous runs where they had filled the sky with these things. And she said, you know what? I rarely get ill. But she said, now that you mention it, it's always when these things are in the sky. Now, you could say she's getting this through some, you know, association. It's like a placebo effect of making her ill because I've said there's something ill in the sky. But certain people in the world do not cower down to illness very easily. They don't go to the doctor every time they get a runny nose. They power through it. They try to fight. And it's only when it gets the upper hand for a couple weeks do they go get an antibiotic. This girl was completely against antibiotics, completely against medicine in general, as it's commonly, you know, distributed. You know, she's not a prescription girl, let's put it that way. And so, you know, I was probably, I knew her for a good part of a year, and we started watching her child get sick, and we never told her kid about it until way, way later. But we never told her kid about it being a problem with health. We just said, you know, we're not quite sure what's up there, and, you know, notice how some planes don't do it and some planes do on the same exact day. But the school would break down in illness because they did a lot of field trips and stuff outside. And when this stuff would spray, boom, these kids would come down with upper respiratory problems. Now, I grew up in the Midwest where there's a lot of pollen issues and a lot of deep temperature changes. Summers are 105 on average, and the winters can go down to zero. So I've always been surrounded as a kid with people getting sick due to Mother Nature. But an upper respiratory problem, where it almost is almost emulating sort of a pneumonia-based thing, was only in extreme circumstances where the weather had really altered badly. Pneumonia is pretty common in the Midwest. And usually, you know, if you're older and you get it, you die, right? Or you run the risk. Younger kids, too. But now it's sort of this mainstream thing. When I was a kid, you had to drive to get to a drugstore. In Huntington Beach, there are more drugstores than churches. We've got two big drug store outlets here in America, or at least, sorry, in this part of America. One's called Walgreens and one's called CVS. It's so bad now that we've got Walgreens and CVS's right across from each other. And you go up a block and it'll either be a Walgreens or a CVS. And you go up the next block and they switch off and on. Beach Boulevard. If you want to do an interesting Google search, look up Huntington Beach, Beach Boulevard. Look up Walgreens with an E on the end. I think it has an E on the end. Or CVS. And just take a look at how many locations we've got. Because people are constantly sick. Constantly. Wasn't that way when I moved here in 87. I don't even remember people getting sick every single year back in 87. You know, I've worked in a corporate world my entire life where if an employee got sick and left work, we felt it because we were always working in a tight startup sequence, right? And I certainly don't remember getting sick. Now, and in the late 90s, I started getting this thing. In the late 90s or early 2000s, I started getting these weird little ulcers on the back of my throat. I went to the doctor a couple times. I said, what the hell's going on? And two things seemed to coincide with it ending. Brushing with fluoride, which I think might have been the biggest culprit, but maybe not. But taking vitamin C regimentally, you know, a time-release powder C. I don't get them anymore, ever. And they used to last, fuck, man, they used to last a week and a half, about the size of a dime. Talk about pain, man. Every time you eat, it was just like tearing up your throat. But I had no cold as it's attached to it. I just had this thing. It was weird. Really strange. Now I want to talk about crops because chemtrails have been attached to population control. I'm not so convinced this population control. There's a million things going on in the world that are, you know, contributing to population control. However, I do think there's a corporation called Monsanto that has made an aluminum oxide resistant seed. Now, some of you might say, well, aluminum oxide is a natural byproduct of the Earth's soil. Well, if that's the case, then coming from a country town that survives on growing corn, wheat, and all kinds of derivatives of soybean and hay, we never had a problem harvesting crops and planting them and harvesting them year after year after year for hundreds of goddamn years. We never had a problem. The only thing that would make a crop die in my hometown on average was a flood. When they would really rain torrentially and we'd drive down the 39 highway through my hometown, I'd look off to the left and right and the fields would just be flooded. It was never due to heat. Never 105 degree span of a month and a half ever affected crops. Never a problem. When I went back from my high school reunion, my 20th, I sat and watched an armada of planes spray my hometown. Big jets spraying this crap all over my planes. Again, persistent contrails all of a sudden start existing in my hometown, which never existed before. My buddy, one of my best friends from high school, lives right next to a soybean farm. And these things are massive. These farmers have been making millions of dollars a year since the 80s, right? Well, he reported to me, personally, that all the farmers around him lost their crops about 3.5 years in a row. And Monsanto shows up and says, we've got a seed, and they didn't lose it to weeds, okay? They lost it to pure attrition out of phantom nothingness, right? They planted, they grew a little bit, and they turned brown and died. Monsanto came in and said, hey guys, we've got a seed that we think might grow in your shitty soil. And we're no near some dust bowl thing where the soil doesn't have the right mineral readings. If soil doesn't have the right mineral readings, the farmers know. They take samples before they plant, and they plant different things to re-energize the minerals in the soil. These guys aren't idiots. They've been doing it for longer than you've known about conspiracies, okay? But Monsanto shows up and gets them to be customers and gets them to be resellers because the shit's so expensive they can't afford it and make a profit. So it's this insidious loop where they start selling it to all their neighbors right now. Every goddamn farm in the Midwest is a reseller of Monsanto. It's like Avon. So it's all going to collapse eventually because eventually there's no one that's going to buy under anybody and they're all going to be just out the profits of their patented terminated seeds, right? But the one chemical that it was resistant against that was claimed by the salesman from Missouri-based Monsanto, why this place hasn't been torn to the ground by Missouri citizens, I have no idea, was aluminum oxide. No mention of barium, okay? All of a sudden, the crops grow great. Isn't that unbelievable? The contractors that sprayed, you know, that do this low-flying spraying of all the pesticides, the glyphosate pesticide, well, they're contracted from Monsanto. They'll hook you up, as it were. So the weed's not a big issue, I guess. The weeds weren't the big issue why it was dying in the first place. It was a mystery why this stuff died. But they still firebomb my hometown with these persistent contrails. Something that was never in the sky when I was a kid. Ever, ever, ever. If a plane sprayed a big line when I was a kid, I would have run into my mom and been all excited about it. But it never, ever happened. Now it's a common day occurrence all year round. So when we talk about population control, it's not that these things are poisoning us personally and reducing our lives. A law of particulate will definitely make you unhealthy. It will make you catch whatever's going around. It's not like they have flu up there in the plains and they drop and you get flu. I suppose they could do it, but that's unnecessary. You get a particulate regimen into your system and you're going to catch whatever. And that's why in California, in Southern California, when they barely spray, we're the healthiest we've been all year. And as soon as winter comes, the spraying starts. And all of a sudden, everyone gets sick. And what do you say? You say, because it's wintertime. That's why the weather's a-changing. Okay, we'll get these fucking things out of the sky, and we'll see how we do. And the fact that no one from the government cares that planes suddenly make these things is interesting. The CDC and the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, Center and Disease Control, doesn't seem to think it's their job to certify whether or not these things are what they are. The only news we get is from local news stations that either lambast you or, you know, like ridicule you for mentioning it, but they never do the science of it. The fact that no science is being done except for some independent millionaires in Santa Fe, California, or South Santa Fe, New Mexico, excuse me, should give you some sort of clue as to what's going on. So once these crops in the Midwest get replaced with these GMO crops that have terminated seeds, and for those of you who don't know, the seeds don't procreate. They have a terminating gene sequence in them. I've seen videos that say that they actually inject gold particles inside these seeds to make them terminate. It sounds ridiculous to me, but supposedly that's the official story. But you're now ingesting a genetic code that is terminating life. Why do you think rats go sterilized in 3 generations? Maybe it's because they're ingesting a terminating life sequence. We're not completely different people. Our genetics are not completely incompatible between us, right? There was a science that you could actually search on, which I think you can't even find a single article on it now, but 10 years ago, I remember bumping into this completely irrespective of anything chemtrail-y. That was called cell mimicry. and it talked about the fact that the genetic codes that we ingest affect our body. Go figure. Go figure that we would ingest a genetic sequence and somehow absorbing that into our bloodstream would actually convince our genes and our body to become what we eat. Muscle. You want muscles? You got to eat muscle. So when it comes to population control, if these things kill crops and crops kill people, when they get replaced with Monsanto, there's your population control. But don't get it misconstrued that one is directly killing the other. And don't get this time limit on everything, that supposedly the death sequence has to be instantaneous, otherwise it doesn't exist. Aspartame metabolizes into methanol, which is rubbing alcohol, and it metabolizes into formaldehyde in your brain. It's a preservative for dead objects, right? We're not supposed to ingest this stuff. But it's not going to kill you. Even if you drink methanol every single day, it's not going to kill you instantaneously. You'll get sick slowly over time as a toxin gets trapped inside your brain cavity. I mentioned on the show several times this I just can't believe defense. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to pursue truth, you can't have this in your life where you go, I just can't believe. The Jesse Ventura defense to chemtrails. I just can't believe. It's not scientific. It's not rational. And it's going to make them win every single day of every single day. You know, if you were to apply I just can't believe defense to everything, then they get their way everywhere in the world. Then all of a sudden, wars make sense. Right? Again, no country ever lacks the finances to create a war. No corporation ever does anything bad because I just can't believe a corporation would do anything bad. I just can't believe politicians would ever be pedophiles. I just can't believe it. Just can't believe the space station is fake. Just can't believe that something else is fake. Well, shit, at that point, get out of the game. Get out of the game completely because you're going to do more harm than good. But if you're interested in the truth and you got the guts to do it, then get in the game and fight through it. If you start wavering, then reach out. Reach out to someone you can trust and say, dude, I'm backsliding on this thing. Are we all crazy? Remind me again why this is real. Remind me again the smoking guns that say at least the official story of this stuff is not true. You know, Kyle and I pride ourselves on the fact that he and I actually talk things over. We don't do it on the show, you know, while we're recording or during any other, you know, recorded mechanism, but we do debate and re-debate everything constantly. And the most frustrating thing is not knowing what they're doing or why they did what they did in the past, you know? Sometimes, again, it's just a matter of national pride. Going to the moon, it was a matter of national pride for the United States of America. Once we figured out we couldn't go, well, we had to fake it. We just did. Sorry. 9/11, well, read Zygmunt Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard, and you'll find out why the Eurasia had to be invaded, according to these psychopathic neocons and psychopathic world elites that want us all under one economy so they can utterly and completely control us, right? What's really crazy about the world right now is that these people are so psychopathic and so out of touch with the human condition that they don't see any mechanism of getting what they want by being nice. They think that that's impossible. They think they're going to lose control if they allow intelligence to descend down to the people. When the utopian world that they actually want could be had by being good. You want a one world currency? Fine. Make the world happy. Make the world happy, and it'll be a logical extension of being happy. But right now, the beautiful kiss of death for them, and this is what's funny, this is the thing that's lost on all the ruling class, is that they got their way the most when the world was indoctrinated into believing everything. When our parents stayed married, when mom stayed home with the kids, that's when they could kill JFK and everybody just thought it was Lee Harvey Oswald. Just instantaneously, no question. My parents are still bit by that. everything in the world that they wanted to shove down people's throats worked in that era. Then they broke up the family so they could tax the other half, right? What did that create? It created people like you and me. Mutts of the world. People who had parents that divorced before, you know, before I was even 10, they divorced. That created two sides of the family that struggled financially. That showed me that the apple pie America was all bullshit and wasn't going to happen. My parents were broke constantly. And when I had to come out here to my to California on my own with $230 in my pocket, and I had to make my destiny out of nothing. And, you know, I lived 3 or 4 years where my bank account was withdrawn more than it actually, overdrawn, excuse me, more than I had any deposits in it. But eventually I kept persisting and I fought and I got it to work. But the only way I ever got my life to work was by taking all the traditional rules and throwing them out the window because they didn't work. And they still don't work to this day. Hence all the kids that are graduating without jobs. And this destroying society thing that they're into right now is waking up more people than ever. Because in the end, people realize that the only thing that truth does is predict the future. The only thing a lie does is destroy your life, right? So I think it's a great thing to ask the question again, to ask all the questions again about chemtrails. But chemtrails, just like I said in my last episode of Truth and Denial, it's like a black hole. You're never going to see the black hole. All you're going to do is see its effects on other things in the universe, if they do exist at all. Well, chemtrails are a big black hole up there. You can see them being artificially created. Again, the best smoking guns have to do with our photographs where you see them stop on a dime, a big fluffy end. You know, not a tapered turn off and on moment, but a big chunky end to the line. The fact that they've intelligently sprayed things geometrically in 2008, but nowadays they try to weave it in the sky to look like clouds. The fact that they never rain on you. The fact that they're never gray. And let's not forget that the Chinese used an aerosol program to control the weather during the Olympics and created a big monsoon that killed thousands of people south in their country. It was in the press, in mainstream press. Also, don't forget that the German government has, on two different occasions, admitted to the public that this is a military weapon. Or it was a military exercise to control weather. They've done both. Why? Because German people have a really good engineering background, a scientific background on a whole. Now, they're also very nationalistic, and they have a lot of national pride. Their country could do damn near anything, and the people would actually believe them and go for it. But on two different occasions, they've had to admit it. So we have admissions from different countries that this stuff is real. You can buy a service to clear out the weather over your wedding now. But we're nuts if we say that chemtrails can be used to manipulate the weather. They sprayed like crazy over the last 10 years in California. And all of a sudden we have a drought. There's time-lapse photography in Los Angeles, too numerous to see all of it online, where we had marine layers and cloud layers, and all of a sudden these planes go dive bombing through LA at these special military altitudes, and the clouds disappear instantaneously. And then we have time-lapse photography of them spraying, and the clouds appear. Now here's the thing. Some of you are time-lapse photographing this stuff, and you're like, that never happens. My clouds stay there, and they don't materialize. Right. Because on that particular regiment of those particular planes, it was seeded to create clouds or seeded to get rid of clouds. It's not the same thing every single time they go through. You think China chemtrailed their people to be ill when they cleared out the weather for the Olympics? No. They erased the storm. And this technology has been around since 1955. My grandmother, on her refrigerator side, my entire life had an article. Go figure, man. I don't know why. It was a picture of a bunch of planes flying in a gigantic line. This is in the photo, and they were seeding a storm over Kansas. And it was a big scientific breakthrough that they did this in the mid-50s. My grandma thought it was so cool. She's always cutting out these articles. She's long gone now. But she put it up there my whole life. It got brown on the side of the refrigerator. So you're going to tell me they can't do it when they've done it already? Again, if they can create droughts, they can create all kinds of wild situations. California took out a $1.1 billion loan from the United States government to fix our drought problem. Since wind is writing a check, make it rain. You know, since when does that happen? I don't know what that check is for. I wouldn't even suggest the check is for the government who actually works for the bankers in Europe to make it rain here. It did rain, you know, a little bit here, and we got a little bit of a reprieve all of a sudden. But I don't think the check has anything to do with that. It's just a way to keep California down. California being bankrupt creates a lot of controllability. Why is California bankrupt? Because in the early 2000s, late 1990s, we had a power problem that was created by Enron, where they sabotaged a bunch of our power companies, putting them in maintenance modes, and then forced us to buy power from George Bush's college roommate. And the whole company went tits up and fucked everybody in the company. And the governor at the time got kicked out of being governor, and Arnold Schwarzenegger got put in his place, Mr. Neo-Nazi himself. No, there's no way that government could be doing anything bad against humanity, right? Keep feeling better, right? Because these guys are always out for us, right? Unemployment benefits have been completely cut in California, yet the recession's still here. It's trickling back just a tiny bit, but it's supposed to get slammed down the real estate market at the end of the year here. The president claims he created jobs because he denies benefits, and the way he takes credit for creating jobs is that unemployment claims have gone down. It's like, yeah, because they cut the benefits, that's why. These are the people that you're supposed to trust with all of your natural resources. We don't live in the 50s anymore, you know? So I hope this has been helpful as a refresher course on what chemtrails are, how they're definitely real, how they absolutely, by the law of particulates, cannot be improving our health at all, how they've been admitted by multiple governments, multiple pilots. They bear no resemblance to natural phenomenon whatsoever. They start and stop on a dime. They shoot crazy formations in the sky. In fact, these formations have nothing to do with air traffic patterns at all. One could be spraying going north while the other plane comes back south with no trail. In the same airspace that supposedly has a crystal phenomenon that creates persistent contrails, a concept that's been recently invented to make sure that we believe it. And consequently, if you look at the old photographs from the 40s where they have wartime planes flying in the sky, and they go, look at all those trails. See, this has been around since the 40s. Those are prop planes with low-octane fuels just blasting gigantic diesel clouds in the sky and getting hit with spotlights. It ain't the same thing, people. All right? There's no smoking gun in that. In addition to the law of particulates, there's a reason why the world runs on unleaded gas. There's a reason why there's diesel 2 gas now, because those particulates cause health risks. They cause smog in the air that the millionaires and gazillionaires that flew to LA had to breathe, and they didn't want to breathe that anymore. So here comes the emissions control, and everybody won because the particulates were killing us. Ask anybody who works in a coal plant where they're down inside the coal mines digging that shit out of the ground. They die of the coal dust in their chest. Ask any one of the firefighters that had to clean up all the asbestos out of their World Trade Centers. They die of black lung because of particulates. So before any of you fall back and try to legitimize this crap by reading Wikipedia, for fuck's sake, realize that you're just suffering a momentary lack of strength, and it's all right. Your system can only create so much energy to fight on a day-to-day basis before it just goes, I can't do this anymore. But do me a favor. Mute your microphone until you get your energy back, because you will get it back. Re-examine all the evidence. Reach out to your friends who you can trust, right? But be careful putting a generalization across the entire world about being shills just because you don't agree on something. What is every Christian, a shill? Shill for Jesus? Because you don't agree with them? No, you just have different opinions, right? A shill is a person that's going to lead you to your death with a big smile on your face. You know, I don't think a shill is there to ruin your quality of life necessarily. They have an agenda. They want you to support that agenda. And it's going to have a much bigger implication than cleaning up our air. How can someone be a shill that's looking up at the sky and saying the goddamn thing should be blue and clear in Southern California? Or it should have beautiful puffy clouds like Kansas. Kansas has the most gorgeous clouds on planet Earth. Absolutely deep blue skies with these rolling croissants of clouds just perfectly spaced out. It looks absolutely Truman Show. It's so perfect when it happens. We don't want that. Think about it. We have the power to remove all the control from all these crazy psychopaths. But if we don't get on the same page, and we're not, again, like I said in the last episode, we're going to the same goal of having a wonderful world where everyone is incredibly educated, incredibly empathetic and understanding. We want the best water and the best food for everyone. Sure, there'll be growing pains if we run out and we all get healthy and we all want to struggle for the space on planet Earth. There's going to be different confrontations that occur if China wants to take over America or India wants to take over Europe or Muslims want to take over Europe or whatever, right? We'll get to that point when we get there. And for those of you who think that China and India are growing in population and somehow they're not controlling the population control over there, think again. You're sitting inside of a propaganda bubble. India is having huge issues right now, and they're kicking out Monsanto because Monsanto has been responsible for not only a huge surge in suicides of 25-year-old males on average because they can't afford to grow with Monsanto seeds and make a profit, but their illness is off the chain, right? They're sterilizing their women for a cell phone. They're feeding them full of vaccinations in Africa that are sterilizing and killing people. China's whole thing, well, 60% of their population in 10 years is going to be over 60. 60%? Where do you think that population's going? Are they going to go through some machine to make them young again? No, they're going to die off. We're going to see a gigantic change in the population of the world. And every country's in on it. And every country should be trying to do something if they're overpopulated. And I think they are. You know, I recently heard an update from China because I hear all kinds of weird stories about the fact that the firstborns who are girls, they pay a lot of fines for it. And I have friends who live in Shenzhen. And I guess the fines are pretty stiff. What I heard from people was that only government workers were getting fines. It was around $150 in their local currency. But I've heard people that have suffered pretty great losses. And the crazy thing is that if you look at any type of computer simulation of population, the boys are the ones that you want to actually curb, because a boy can impregnate as many people as he can get access to, but a girl can only be pregnant once every 9 months. So the girls aren't the problems. It's the boys that are the problems. And in China, the culture is very lean towards the boys become the kings or they become the prince. And they're worshipped by the family, whereas the girls are always like, yeah, whatever, you're just there to have babies. And this is straight from Shenzhen in the last 2 months, right? So the world is reducing in population. Whether or not the Census Bureau information is true about us being at nearly 8 billion, who knows? I don't know. I have no firm belief in either one of those things. I don't even know if either one of those countries are overpopulated. It seems like it is, right? When you see photographs of their downtown cities. But anyway, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. If you haven't been already, go to mkultraradio.com. Our Sunday shows, I actually said this wrong in my last deep thoughts. I said Wednesday. There's no necessarily Wednesday. I just drop these whenever they occur. But our Sunday shows are kind of on hold because both of us, Kyle and I, are extremely busy right now. They're working them on the weekends. It's one of the major reasons why we're not able to record and all week. So it gets basically one day off a week. And so I don't want to pollute that with him driving around to do the show at this point. But we will get back on things. Again, I think we've got, you know, reality down to a hum. You know, there's just various agendas. They're not that numerous, and they just keep pushing forward, and that's nice, because the lack, if as long as you can get off of the dentist who killed a lion bullshit, and you know, various obituaries that pull you aside, I would say that there's not a lot to focus on anymore, but the stuff that we're focusing on is extremely important. And for those of you who are going to miss Ronnie Piper, who just passed away at 61, go watch John Carpenter's They Live, because as a conspiracy person or person looking for the truth, that is an incredible movie. I think it was released in 1985, but it is a fantastic film. We don't know how on earth Carpenter woke up so intensely in the mid-80s, but he did. So go take a look at it. But again, to made it this far, appreciate it. As we always say, learn the rules that rule you, because those chemtrails are up in the sky, no matter if you want to call them contrails or persistent contrails. They're not natural. They're mathematical. They run on a schedule. They defy anything natural. Don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight. And I'll talk to you guys later. Over and out.